time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now, here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hey guys, welcome to episode number 10 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Barnes. I'm really excited to introduce you to my guest today. But before I do that, I just want to make a quick announcement. If any of you happen to be going to the PBR finals this next week, I want you to do something for me. When you're at the Thomas and Mack, look for the UNLV rodeo raffle ticket table. There should be several college rodeo kids there selling raffle tickets. It's one of their biggest fundraisers of the year. Now, my brother, Bryce Barnes, happens to be one of the rodeo coaches at UNLV, so you better believe he's going to be there too. So if you go by the table and say hi, he is going to have a stack of Earn Your Spurs stickers there, and he would be glad to give you one. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to be there myself this time. I will be at the NFR for any of you who are going to be there, but definitely go look my brother up at the Thomas and Mack, and he will hook you up with a very cool Earn Your Spurs sticker that you can put on your vehicle or your lunchbox or whatever. I don't know. Do people still put stickers on their lunchboxes? Anyway, I'll go ahead and introduce my guest today. I'm going to be speaking with Hannah Beth Thames. She's just 16 years old and a senior in high school, and she has cooked up this idea and started her own nonprofit called Dare to Be a Cowboy. Hannah Beth, she doesn't come from a rodeo family herself, so she knows firsthand how difficult it can be to get started in the rodeo world. But now that she's established herself, it's her dream to help other kids develop their skills and live their own rodeo dreams. And she's doing that by helping kids financially, helping them develop their rodeo skills, just basically giving them an opportunity that they wouldn't otherwise have. This is a very driven 16-year-old, and she's got some pretty big dreams and goals of her own. As always, thank you so much for being here and listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you guys, and we'll go ahead and get started. Hannah Beth, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're here. I would love for you to just kind of walk us through how you got the idea to start Dare to Be a Cowboy and what your plans are for the organization going forward.
So I think Dare to Be a Cowboy, the idea of Dare to Be a Cowboy is always in the back of the minds for everybody doing rodeo. We all know how tough it is to be in this sport and to stay in this sport. And we all know the financial means that it takes to be in it for sure. But knowing all of that, and for all of us knowing all of that, none of us actually took the first step forward. And even I didn't, until I had a friend who really wanted to tie goats. And she was really good, and she always came to my house with a string, and I made her a little goat pole string, and she always came and said, "All right, let's go practice." And it'd be like midnight, and be like, "Okay, let's go practice." she was getting so much better, and we were practicing. She did one rodeo with me, and I just let her use my horse and stuff like that. And she was just so driven in it. And we took her to high school rodeo meetings, and we were all geared up to do high school rodeo, and we were all excited until one day she called me, and she's like, "Hannah, I'm really sorry, but I'm not going to be able to do high school rodeo this year." And she said, "I'm not even going to be a part of the club because I just can't afford it." And at first I really didn't even know what to say. I was like, "Oh my gosh," because we were really looking forward to this. You know, we had all of our goals written out, and we had motivation cards that we were going to read before every rodeo, and we were all super excited. But, for her dreams to be put on halt like that because she didn't have the money really broke my heart. And I thought, man, that's awful. You know, you have a dream and you have a drive for something, and for something like money to prevent you to have that is so sad to me. And then it got me thinking, there's got to be so many more kids like her that just can't do it because of a simple thing like money, you know? And so that was really sad for me. And it definitely got me thinking about what I can do to help these kids. And so I just jotted down the idea of Dare to Be a Cowboy. And I was like, well, kind of see, I'll write a mission statement, you know, see where this can get me. And I brought it up to my parents and they're like, oh, that's nice. It's nice. And then they went to bed and I said, okay, I'm just going to make a Facebook because I think, well, I'll just put it on Facebook and see what people think. And by the next morning we had 400 followers or something, or 400 likes, that everyone's like, oh my gosh, this is great. You know, we really want to help you get involved. And I had calls and texts the next day, like, hey, if I can help you out in any way, just let me know. And, you know, people at high school already, I had a high school already that weekend, and they were all like giving me tack and stuff. Whoa. Okay. This is pretty big. And so that's kind of where Dare to Be a Cowboy, you know, came from. And the support system that we had right away, immediately, definitely helped us and drove us to really make it big in a pretty short time. It's been since April. It hasn't been very long. But yeah, so it kind of, she inspired me for sure to want to help other kids in rodeo. And I know there's more kids, especially at my school. I used to see it in my school. There's more kids that want to do it, but they're like, I can't afford to make it all the way to Vegas. And honestly, I can't either. But we like, we do it somehow. I don't know. But I really want to help those kids get involved because rodeo is the best industry. I think the best place to be for me is rodeos. So I want kids to be able to experience that too.
Awesome. I wanted to have you on the show today because, you know, once I learned about what you were doing, it's similar to what I'm trying to do with Earn Your Spurs. And, you know, I'm not focusing specifically on rodeo per se, but I do want to help people get more involved in just living Western. And I know there's a lot of people out there who would love to learn to ride a horse or, you know, just get involved in some way because people are so fascinated with the cowboy. When people come from Europe, they want to go to Dude Ranch because they want to experience that. That's exactly. That's what they think of America is, you know, a bunch of cowboys. So.
Right. And in my town, we have the Reno Rodeo. And you definitely, from that perspective, I guess, being into it because I was on the flag team. And so to see how inspired the kids were, but knowing that they weren't going to get involved in rodeo and having to accept that, that was really sad for me. And I want those kids to have a chance, at least. If they really want to do it, they should have the chance to actually be in it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a limiting factor for a lot of people. What do you think, having friends and that have inspired you to start this organization, what is it for them, do you think, that really makes them want to get involved in rodeo in the first place?
I think the environment of rodeo definitely inspires the kid to be a part of it. But I also think that having the responsibility of it kind of is an addiction. You know, having the responsibility of having a horse even is kind of an addiction. And you want to have that responsibility. And I think that's what drives a lot of kids to want to be involved. But I think the environment as well, because especially here in Nevada high school rodeos, the environment is so family oriented and everybody there is just always so friendly and they just want to help you and they're always so nice. And I think environments like that make kids want to go back. You know what I mean? And you don't really get that with school sports. And I mean, you could sometimes, but it's a little bit harder because everyone's just constantly wanting to be competitive and everything like that. And in rodeo, we all want to be competitive. We all want to be the best, but we're also, all of us are willing to help out anybody. Like, I know for sure, from my point of view, I've had a horse go down right before my event, and somebody was just like, hey, you can use my horse, you know? And that's always how it is, you know? We just, like, let each other borrow each other's horses just in case something happens, or equipment, tack, anything. And I think environments like that definitely want to go back, or help kids want to go back, because it's just a nice environment to be around, especially if you're just starting. It's not so intimidating and so scary, you know?
Yeah. And that can be hard for kids that are just getting involved and didn't grow up on a ranch and didn't grow up riding. There is that intimidation factor. I think, you know, I don't know as much as these other kids, and are they going to, you know, laugh at me or whatever, exactly. Just feeling that insecurity. So to come into that environment and have people really help them, I'm sure is a good feeling. And I know I high school rodeoed in Nevada too. So I get the whole family oriented sport that it is. And it is pretty special, I would say.
It's just like having a huge support system behind you. Like the whole state of Nevada High School Rodeo, I feel like, for me personally, especially, just I feel like the whole Nevada High School Rodeo Association is my support system. And that's an awesome feeling. And that's for everybody there.
Yeah, definitely. I know when I, you know, I live in Montana now, but if I go back to Nevada, I know somebody in every single town.
Exactly. Like if you break down in Vegas, I know who to call easily. Yeah.
Yep. So that's pretty cool. I don't know if people that are involved in other sports can say the same thing.
Exactly.
So awesome. So you obviously are really involved in rodeo yourself. How do you feel that involvement has impacted you thus far? And in addition to what we've already kind of touched on, what do you think rodeo can do for other kids? I mean, why are you so passionate about getting them into it?
Well, I never really expected rodeo to have such a huge impact on my life. But looking back from who I used to be until now, I have a completely different mindset for not only rodeo, but for life. It's taught me work ethic, responsibility. It's taught me to have a drive and to what to do with my motivation. And, you know, I've changed my whole life for rodeo, basically. That's kind of how you have to do it if you're doing it. It has to become a lifestyle. And I think I really want kids to experience that, because I feel like, especially now with my generation, I don't think a lot of kids really understand work ethic and responsibility and, you know, what to do if you have a drive for something. And I want to share that with a lot of kids. And I think rodeo is a great place to do that, or a great way to do that, because it's something that you can not only do when you're a kid, but also do, you know, as a career. And if you're good enough, it's very realistic to do that. So I want to share that with a lot of kids, you know, to have that something, you know, that they need to be responsible for. And because especially in rodeo, with grades and stuff, a lot of people say, you know, school doesn't have really a part of it, but you can't even do rodeo if you have bad grades. And so in that way, you have to have good grades too. You know, you have to be an all around humble person too, to even have that support system in rodeo. And then obviously work really, really hard, because if you don't work hard, you can't get through in rodeo, that's for sure. So I want that, kind of having that made me want other kids to have it too, because I know it's changed me as a person. And I think it can change a lot of people too.
How did you get started in rodeo yourself?
Well, I've been riding since I was 7. We moved up from like Los Angeles, Lancaster area. And we moved to Colville, where my mom took me to my first riding lesson when I was 7 or something. And I pretty much just rode for fun and did shows until I was 13. 2011, I think, was my first year that I did rodeo. And it was pretty much like the Reno Rodeo that inspired me to do it, I guess. And I was lucky enough to have parents that were, but we already had horses and stuff. And so I was lucky to have parents that, you know, were willing to help me out with the rodeo kind of idea. And so they took me to a few barrel racing lessons, and they didn't really work out. And then we were lucky enough to find Michelle Howard, and she has helped me so much in the rodeo industry. And we started out with gymkhanas, kind of just did barrels, poles, kind of mess around and, you know, see what I could do. And then we got a horse that could bring me a little bit higher, and we went into junior rodeos, and we did that for a little bit. And it took a while for me to get involved into high school rodeos, because, you know, it was always something before the high school rodeo season, whether it was, you know, I had a horse that died before my freshman year or something like that. And, but I finally got involved in it in my junior year. So last year was my first year in high school rodeo, and it's been great so far. And I definitely am planning on going to college rodeo and planning on making it a career for sure.
Did you have horses before you moved to Nevada, or was that just a totally new thing for you?
It was pretty much new. My mom had a horse I think she had 2 horses or something, but she showed very minimally, but not really a whole lot. If it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't be involved in rodeo, because my dad's not into horses at all. And so, so that kind of, her having at least the horse-ish background kind of got her wanting me and my brother to be a part of it. But I think living in Colville definitely helped it a lot too, because there's not really much to do there. So I think one of the biggest things to do there is to ride horses. And so that's what we got involved in. And we got our first horse, and actually he's still my horse now. I use him for the goat tying, and because that's all he likes to do is run straight. And so, and then we've built an awesome team that I have this year, and it's taken a lot, and it's taken going through a lot of horses and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for sure. But we're starting to get to the point where, you know, we're slowly starting to rise and get better and better, but it's definitely a process. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing keeps you humble like horses and rodeo.
Oh gosh. Tell me about it.
So I know that the basis of your organization, Dare to Be a Cowboy, is to help kids get started in rodeo. And I'm just curious, what are some of the ways that you're planning to do that?
Well, right now we are planning on putting on fundraisers, such as barrel races and stuff like that, to kind of raise monetary donations for these kids, because that's going to be the biggest way that we're going to help the kids, is by calling them up and, hey, your entry fees are paid for this rodeo, or, hey, your national membership for the high school rodeo season this year paid for, you know. That's going to be one of the biggest ways that we're going to help kids. But we're also planning on putting, next year, we're planning on putting clinics for kids, and it's going to be free, open for donations, but like a goat tying clinic or a barrel racing clinic or something like that. That way kids have an option to learn without having to pay so much for clinics, because clinics are extremely expensive. But we're putting together trainers that are willing to help us out. And so that's going to be one of the biggest things that we do, is clinics and putting them on. Next year, we're planning on putting on a rough stock clinic. And I really want to do a goat tying clinic too, because you don't really get that a whole lot. But I think it's going to be a good way to get kids involved, because that way they have training sessions and they feel a little bit better about it. So that's going to be one of the biggest things that we do for sure.
How are you going to sort of decide what kids to help and what, you know, because obviously you won't be able to help everybody. And, and then in addition to that, as far as horses are concerned, are you going to be helping any kids out with actually mounting them?
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, to choose a kid, we have two applications on our website. We have one to nominate yourself, and we have one for somebody else to nominate a youth if they feel like that person has a need or the drive for rodeo. And at this point, those applications will go straight to us, and the board will go over them. And we're just going to, it involves an essay and involves, you know, all information about you and just trying to get to know you and who you are and what your needs are. We're going to try to fit something for every kid, but it's definitely going to be hard for sure. And the mounting horses part, I don't know, that's going to be hard, because the best that we can do right now, at least, is to match horses with people. And give them lessons. But I don't know. That's probably, it's going to be really hard, especially considering that Dare to Be a Cowboy is now not only local, it's not just in Northern Nevada, it's everywhere. Like, we're going straight across the country. So that's going to be the hardest part, is to get a hold of these kids and how to help them, even if they're so far away. But we're definitely going to do everything that we can to help them, because we don't want any child left behind for this.
Are you thinking about doing like chapters in different states, so you have kind of hubs where other people can get involved and volunteer and help out in other areas?
We're thinking about it. Honestly, we didn't expect it to be this big so fast. I had the idea in April, and then we pretty much just recently launched this, within the last 2 weeks launched it. And the fan base and the people that are contacting us and everything has already grown so much that we never really expected it to be all the way across the country. So right now on the board members are thinking about what we can do to help kids that are all the way across the country. And we have discussed the chapter thing, and I think it's going to be something that we're going to take in consideration, because I can't personally, or the five board members that we have, we can't do that. You know, we can't help every kid that's in Virginia. You know, we can't do that. So, but we are also looking for trainers and for people that are willing to help right now, even if it's not just an organized chapter, but that people are willing to help in different states so that we can get them, and it's at least closer, like a closer contact. So it's a little bit easier for us to help them.
Right. Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about the response that you've gotten and some of the people that have contacted you.
We've had a lot of, mostly right now, it is people that are wanting to interview us and wanting to, we've had a lot of local newspapers and, local newspapers that have wanted to interview us. And then we've had people from Illinois and Virginia and, I don't know, Oklahoma and everything that, you know, are looking for help as well. And Idaho too. We've had, I honestly can't even keep up with all of it, but it's definitely all around the country and it's very spread out. And then especially our fan base on Facebook, I thought initially it's just going to be people from Northern Nevada, you know, wanting to support us, but it's turned into something. We're looking at our stats. It's definitely turned into something that is widespread across the country. So that's a good thing. You know, we always want it to get bigger, but it's going to be harder to contact everybody, but we're really looking forward to not doing this just locally and doing it across the country, because I think that's going to be the biggest impact for sure. It's going to be the way that we get a hold of most of the people.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just talking to some of my friends recently, I have a friend that lives in Nevada and she's got little kids and she would like to get them started, you know, learning to rope and stuff. She doesn't know who to contact. Like it's right. Just, she doesn't know who to talk to and she just doesn't know what to do. And she's somebody that's been involved in horses and rodeo herself, mm-hmm. but it's just, it seems like it's gotten a little bit harder to, there's not as many people out there maybe giving lessons or helping kids out, or, you know, I don't know what it is, if it's just kind of fallen off because people aren't as involved in rodeo anymore, but it does seem like it's a little bit of a challenge to get kids into it. And even when you're trying and even when you maybe do have money, so maybe putting together a network where people can know at least where to go and who to talk to right. sort of point them in the right direction would be really helpful.
That's why we're getting together Dare to Be a Cowboy trainers, is so that if you are in that position, we have those trainers that are completely willing to help you in any way, shape, or form. We have a few trainers right now, and actually we just paired. There was a 5-year-old kid out of Fallon that really wanted to get involved with her, or his mom, he wanted to be in rodeo and his mom wanted him to be involved in rodeo, but they didn't have the means to do it. They have a horse, but not, they don't really understand, you know, how to do it. So we actually paired them with one of our Dare to Be a Cowboy trainers, Michelle Howard. And right now he's getting lessons to get involved. And I think right now he's going to be in the peewee division, but any start is good. You know, it always gets, if you have a start to it, you'll pretty much want to be involved with it the rest of your life. So we have those trainers and we're so far right now we're trying to get a lot more trainers and try to get, you know, a lot more trainers around the country. That way, if somebody like in that position is from Florida or something, we have a trainer in Florida around your place that you can just go to and have lessons, you know, have that available too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that'll be huge and really helpful for people. I know that from like when I was high school rodeoing to now, it's amazing how the numbers have dropped off.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's sad. We used to have rodeos where we'd have like 80 plus barrel racers. It would take hours to run it. And I don't know how many you guys have now, but I know it's a lot less than that.
It is. It's right now we had the first rodeo this year, there were 50 barrel racers and we were all shocked. And we were like, whoa, 50, that's a lot. You know, we were really excited about that. So at least it's growing a little bit, but it's not what it used to be.
What do you think are some of the main factors that are contributing to that? I mean, obviously, we talked about people not having the financial means to get involved, but do you think there's other reasons beyond that why the numbers are kind of dropping?
I think financial reasons is the biggest reason. I think that fuel costs are probably the biggest factor to all of it, because fuel costs so much. And we were talking to a lot of people that aren't involved in it, and that's why, is because, you know, jackpots are closer, so we don't really need to do high school rodeos. So, you know, we don't need to pay for that fuel, or we just can't be involved in it at all because the gas is too expensive. I think that's huge. And also hay costs, because hay costs are going up because of the drought in Nevada. I think in Nevada, that's a big factor. Nevada, California, like all the West Coast. I think that the hay costs, since they're raising so much, that it's really hard to keep a horse in. Horses are pretty high maintenance, no matter how you look at it. So I think hay costs and fuel costs are really expensive. And then entry fees definitely play a toll into it, too. Entry fees can be a lot, but definitely the fuel and the hay.
Yeah. I wonder if, I mean, obviously, the boys don't necessarily have to have a horse if they want to ride rough stock or whatever. So they kind of have that, you know, it's easier for somebody maybe to get involved in riding bulls than it is to,
oh yeah,
to go out and buy a horse and be a barrel racer.
Oh yeah.
So I wonder if maybe there would be an opportunity, at least for, you know, goat tying or something that's a little where you don't need as much horsepower, for people to even have sort of a community horse that they can,
right,
several girls could ride, or, you know, like they do at the big rodeos where all the steer wrestlers ride the same horse.
Exactly. You know, we thought about that. It's against the rules to use the same horse for barrels or poles, but you can, right, for roping. So we've thought about that for, you know, breakaway and goat tying. If you want to get involved in that, we're still kind of figuring it out and seeing what we can do, but, that's definitely something we've taken into consideration looking at, because I know for a fact it's hard to keep a horse. And if you, especially for goat tying and breakaway, if you have the option of using another horse, I would use it. You know, I would definitely use that, and it won't take as much out on them either, you know, just running down for the goats or whatever. So that's definitely something we're looking at for sure.
Yeah, that's cool. So I'm just curious, Hannabeth, what are your personal goals with rodeo? I mean, what do you want to personally accomplish?
Well, this year, it's kind of changed along the years, you know, based on realistically. But this year, I really want to make it to nationals in the goat tying. I want to qualify to SSIR in the breakaway and in the barrels too. And I know that's kind of shortcutting it, but realistically, that's really what, that would be huge for especially my barrel horse, because she's something that I have made, and I want her to be my college rodeo horse, but you know, we're still working on getting together, but especially for her to qualify to SSIR would be great for us, and that would be something that's really big, and that would be awesome. And so that's pretty much for this year, nationals and goats, SSIR and the other two. And then I really want to go to college, and I really want to rodeo in college, and I want to be successful in that within all three events. I'm thinking about going to the College of Southern Idaho, and so that's going to be a lot different competition. You know, we were thinking about going to a local rodeo college, but it's going to be the same competition that I had in Nevada High School Rodeo, and I want something different, and I want a different environment. And so we're thinking Idaho is going to be my best bet. So that's one of my goals too, is to go to Idaho and be successful in the rodeo industry there. And then I really want to go further and make it a career. And I really want to professionally barrel race. And I want to eventually train and sell horses for barrel racing, or honestly for anything. I really like project horses, and I really like having a project, even though it can be the most frustrating thing sometimes. I really like having a project. And so that's going to be something that I really want to do, is have the project horses. And eventually I want to be able to give lessons to kids and, you know, be able to share what I have. But professionally barrel racing, that would be huge. That's something that obviously any girl, I think, looks to do. Yeah, I think that's a dream for most girls in rodeo, but it's definitely something I want to make a reality for sure.
Awesome. For anybody who's listening that might not know about how high school rodeo works. Can you just give a little bit of a description on what nationals and SSIR are and how do you qualify for them?
Well, you have, depending on what state you're in, you compete against a state or you compete against a district. And you have, you know, like, you have a few rodeos each season, I guess. You have like 10 plus rodeos or something. And along those rodeos, you have points that are accumulative. And then if you place first, you get 10 points. And then if you place 10th, you get first place or you get 1 point. And so all those points are accumulative throughout the year. And then for each state, you have a state finals. And that's where, you know, pretty much matters. Like if you're in the district, if you're in a district and you qualify, I think it's the top 10 in your top five in your district or something like that, you go to your state finals. And the state finals is really where they decide who makes it to nationals and who makes it to not. But so everyone will compete in the state finals, and whoever has the most points, you know, first place through fourth place. Yeah, it's the most points first place through fourth place. And those people are going to go to nationals in each event. So if you're fourth in the goat tying for the state, you're going to go to nationals. For the West Coast, for states like California, Nevada, Utah, Idaho, Canada went. We had one Arizona person go. It's pretty much for the West Coast, and it's something that's definitely up and coming. You have SSIR, Silver State International Rodeo, and that's located, or that's held in Winnemucca, Nevada. And that's for the kids that qualify 5th through 15th place. So if you're 5th through 15th in your state, you're going to SSIR. And that is the funnest rodeo ever. I didn't get to go to nationals last year, but I went to SSIR, and that was so much fun. It's, the president is Dale Owen, and I'm really close with him. And he put on such a great rodeo, and it was so fun. And we all had a really good time. There's a theme for every night, and it's held through the 4th of July week. And so we had a parade, and there was, I don't know, it was crazy, but it was so much fun. We had like drive-bys. You all parked within your state, So Nevada would here, the Nevada was here, Canada was here, Utah was over there. And we'd all have like water gun drive-bys. And it was so bad. You couldn't even go outside without, you know, being prepared to just get soaked. But it's really fun. Things like that are super fun because you get to meet kids that aren't just involved within your state. Like, I met so many Canadians. It's crazy. Like, I know way more Canadians than I thought I would ever know in my entire life because they were all there and they're all so friendly. And just knowing all of these kids and being able to know people in Canada. I know if I break down in Canada, I'm going to know somebody that I'm going to be able to call now. I don't know why I break down in Canada. But just like... something like that. And then I heard in nationals is super fun too. And I really want to experience that. And I'm going to go there this year for sure. Cause I want to experience that. But well, yeah, it's basically first through fourth, go to nationals, 5th through 15th in the West Coast, go to SIR.
That's awesome. I can tell you from experience that nationals is a lot of fun. I never went to SSIR, but nationals was a lot of fun. But, you know, it's interesting because when I think about high school, I don't think about football games or prom or anything that actually happened at my high school. Right. All my memories are high school rodeo memories. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
I mean, I never even went to high school prom. I went to rodeo prom.
Exactly. And cowboy prom. What do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had actually last night I went to a football game, and it was the first game that I've been to all year because I'm always at high school rodeos, and or usually I just think I need to go practice instead. But like tonight we have homecoming and I'm not even going because I just need to practice and I need to rodeo and I don't really have a desire to, but like cowboy prom, I'll go to that, you know. That's all I need really. But high school rodeos, that's where it's at. That's where the best people are, you know. That's where the people that I'm going to have for the rest of my life are. The people at school, as soon as I graduate, I'm going to be, you know, I'm not even going to remember most of these people, but I know in the rodeo, I'm going to have these people for the rest of my life. And so I definitely want to take advantage of that and know all these people, get to know all these people and really get close with the people in rodeo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty special. Part of, you know, thing about rodeo is just how much those people become your family. And,
exactly.
And you stay in touch with them your whole life. I mean, I don't really talk to anybody from my school, unless I rodeoed with them.
Exactly. And at my school, I'm pretty much the only girl that actually high school rodeos. So we don't really have much in common with the rest of my school.
Yeah. They don't necessarily understand.
Exactly.
Crazy cowgirl fine. Chick.
Exactly.
So you're a junior this year and next year you'll graduate. Is that right? Or are you senior this year?
I'm a senior this year and I'll go next June. Yeah, that's awesome. Going to be crazy too, because graduation is on a Friday night and then we have Wells High School Rodeo the next day. And so I'm leaving right from graduation to Wells, which is 6 hours away or something. It's going to be a late night, that's for sure.
Well, that's very cool. How can people support your organization? Is there somewhere they can go donate online or what are you looking for and how can people help?
Right now on our website, there's donation buttons that you can donate through PayPal, or we're also looking at monetary donations are the biggest thing for sure right now for us, because that's going to be the immediate way to help a lot of the kids. But we're also looking for tack and equipment like saddles and boots and hats, because in order to be involved in rodeo, those are all the must-haves. These aren't just, you know, you're going to want a hat. No, this is what you have to have in order to just be in a rodeo. You need to have your cowboy hat, your jeans, your boots, your belts, your shirts, everything. So that's going to be also a different way that you can help us, is by, if you have like an old hat laying around, just donating it to us, because we're looking for anything right now, new or used or lightly used. But, you know, saddles, an old saddle that you don't use anymore, or, you know, old boots or old jeans or something like that, you know, that we can kind of use to help out kids as much as we can. And also, if you have experience within the rodeo world, to possibly be a trainer for us, to possibly be there to be a cowboy trainer for us. Because like I said earlier, we're trying to make that throughout the country. We're trying to, you know, have trainers throughout the country so that we can help out kids that are anywhere in the country. So, you know, tack, trainers, you know, training experience, monetary donations. So it's the biggest thing for us, because that's going to, like I said, that's going to be the way that we're going to help out most kids, paying their entry fees for one rodeo, or, you know, your fuel going to this rodeo is paid. You don't have to, you know, have to pay for fuel at this rodeo or anything like that. So that's going to be the biggest way that you guys can help out. And you can find all information about what we need and details of what we need and how to give it to, or how to donate to us, right on our website. We have the donate now button, and then you can email us if you have any tack or anything that you think that we could have, or yeah, that we could have, or we could use. That's all through the website.
Okay. And I'll provide a link to your website in the show notes. So anybody that comes to earnyourspurs.com to listen to this episode will be able to find that. And beyond your website, which is daretobeacowboy.com, where else can people find you online?
We have an Instagram, a Facebook, a Twitter, a Pinterest, and an Elo, which I'm not really sure what Elo is.
Oh.
Supposedly all right. Like the up and coming thing. So we have one already. So,
okay.
But yeah, we have a Facebook, and that's our biggest, I think, social media site besides our website. And it's just facebook.com/daretobeacowboy. And then Instagram is @dare_to_be_a. It's kind of complicated, but you can, can look it up. And we have actually on our Facebook, we have the link to everything else to the Instagram and to the Twitter and all that. So if you just find our Facebook, which is facebook.com/daretobeacowboy, then we have everything else like under that. We have the Twitter and we have the Instagram and stuff. That way we don't have to say all that. But yeah.
Okay, perfect. I just have one final question for you, and it's how I end all of my interviews. What do you think is the most important quality for any good cowboy to have?
I think this is kind of how I live my life, and if I ever give lessons to people, I always tell them this. I always say you need to have grit. And I personally think that to be successful as a cowboy, not even just in the rodeo industry, just to be successful as a cowboy or a cowgirl, you need to have grit. And that means you need to have a backbone, and you need to have, you know, you need to be very courageous, especially. And it's just things like that, and having grit is going to get you through a lot of the hard times in rodeo, because I can't say that it is the easiest lifestyle to live. I can't. It's, you're going to be thrown some curveballs, that's for sure. And they're going to be completely unexpected. And you need to have grit to get through those and to be able to just say, you know what, I'm going to get past that and I'm going to still drive to reach my goals, you know? I think that, and even if you're, like I said, if you're not involved in rodeo, even if you just have horses and you, you know, want to be living in the cowboy lifestyle, I guess just having grit is so important, because that's going to be what gets you through all the hard times and even helps you. And in rodeo, it'll help you be successful in all the good times too. That's going to be what gets you first place. That, you know, you're not going to get first place if you don't have grit, and you're not going to be the champion if you don't have grit, because it's just, you know, especially the courage part of it. You need to have a lot of courage in rodeo to be able to go out there in front of everybody. You don't really realize how many people you're in front of until you look at all the pictures and you see all the people watching you and you're like, oh no. But you need to be able to have that courage to go out there in front of everybody and just kick butt, you know, and just to be into walk in the arena knowing you worked so hard for this and that you really just, you're just going to go get it. So I think cowboys and cowgirls in rodeo or not in rodeo need to have grit, because that's the way you're going to be successful.
Great answer. Well, I really appreciate you being here today. I think what you're doing is awesome. And I wish you the best of luck with your new venture.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Hannah Beth Thames of Dare to Be a Cowboy. As you can tell, she is one driven teenager and she has some big goals and dreams for her own rodeo career and especially Dare to Be a Cowboy. She is just really passionate about helping other kids get involved in rodeo, and I just think it's really cool. As always, you can find links to her website and some of the other social media sites that we talked about at earnyourspurs.com. That's earnyourspurs.com/episode 10. Again, thank you so much for being here and listening. If you have not done so already, I would really appreciate it if you would take 2 minutes and go to iTunes and leave us a rating and a review. Let us know how you're enjoying the podcast, and that just makes it easier for other people who are interested in the same subject matter as you to find us in iTunes. Plus, I just love getting your feedback about how you're enjoying the show and anything that can help make the show even better. Thanks again for being here, and we'll see you next week.
For listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.